The Honourable Frederick Threepwood had for many years infuriated his mild old father, the Earl of Emsworth, of Blandings Castle, Shropshire. Trouble with a shop girl at Oxford, racing cars, debts, the prodigal younger son. Then Freddie married, and it was the making of him, a splendidly rich American girl. And he has now become vice president of her splendidly rich father's dog biscuit business over there, Donaldson's Dog Joy. Biscuits full of all essential vitamins for the perfect puppy, the dynamic dog. And now, for a short while, Freddie's over in London, working like a beaver for his father-in-law's interests, and determined to build up a British market. Lady Marshall, Freddie's aunt, has so many dogs that she loses count of them, and Freddie intends, as a spearhead for his campaign, to line Aunt Elizabeth up as English customer number one for Donaldson's Dog Joy. Biscuits full of all essential... Well, yes, we've had that. He's on his way at this moment to Grosvenor Square. And if he can land Aunt Elizabeth, he can say, patronised by the aristocracy.
Ah, hello, Parker. Is her ladyship in?
Good morning, sir. It's Mr. Frederick. We thought you were in America. Come in, Mr. Frederick. Bob, Bingo, Wilhelm, all off, ching ching, less noise. It's only her ladyship's nephew. Give me your hat and umbrella, Mr. Frederick.
I'll go into the drawing room, shall I? Oh, shut up, you foul dogs! Talk about a frothing maelstrom of dumb chums. Still, that's why I'm here. Aunt Elizabeth!
Freddy! This is a surprise. Shut up, you foul dogs. Shut up, lie down. All of them. Down, all of them. Now, Freddy, you've come back from America. I take that as read.
Correct, Aunt Elizabeth. I have come to London to enlarge and put some life into the English end of my father-in-law's business. Did you meet Aggie's father, old Donaldson? Big tycoon in America, dog biscuits, Donaldson's Dog Joy. Millionaire, several times over. Thinks the world of me.
So now you're selling dog biscuits to the backward British. Is that it?
Yes, Aunt Elizabeth, and that, apart from the love I have borne you since childhood.
Stuff a sock in it, Freddy. You've come to convert me to your damned foreign biscuits.
Ah.
Well, thank you. My dogs do very well on Peterson's pup food, which is British. And I get it at bulk prices, delivered regularly to the back door from the stores. Now then.
Aunt Elizabeth, Peterson's pup food. You're making a mistake. It's a fraud. It's lacking in four of the essential vitamins. No wonder your dogs bark at someone they've known for years. Nerves. No wonder they lie about on chairs and sofas. Feed these animals with Donaldson's Dog Joy for a fortnight and you'll mark the change. They'll be fine, upstanding, happy, with wet noses and all 4 feet on the ground. Fortnight's free trial.
Freddy.
Special price for members of my family. Bulk discounts too. What quantity can I book you up for, Aunt Elizabeth?
Freddy, you're making me tired. Please go away.
Oh. Where's Gertrude? Perhaps I can talk sense into her about Donaldson's Dog Joy.
Freddy, haven't you been down to Blandings since you got back?
No.
Well, Gertrude's there. We sent her there. She has been a very silly girl. She thinks she's in love with an impoverished... Oh, it's been such a nuisance and anxiety. So, she's at Blandings. Your Aunt Constance is away, so Gertrude is acting hostess to your father.
Ah, yes, yes, it comes back to me. My governor told me about her on the telephone. Oh, it's an old family custom. Whenever the young of the species make a floater, like falling in love with an impoverished, impossible young man, the words all my aunts use for any young man with an income of less than 10,000.
What?
She is shot off to Blandings to recover, bunged into the Bastille Blandings Castle in Shropshire. Governor's often complained about it, bitterly. And now it's Gertrude. And tidying the governor's desk. These girls, when in love, will go about doing good deeds. It gets them greatly disliked.
Have you finished, Freddy? I'm sorry I can't ask you to lunch. You must go now.
Oh, well, tinkety-tonk, Aunt Elizabeth, for the nonce. I shall press my suit. I will not take no for an answer. Oh, bless of that, you neurotic dog. Ow!
Your hat and umbrella, Mr. Frederick. That's enough. That's enough.
Thank you, Parker. That's right, you foul dogs. Shut up. Pip, pip, Parker.
Goodbye, sir.
raspberry from Aunt Elizabeth. Peterson's pop food, forsooth. I'll have to bend young Gertrude to my will at the castle. I wonder who her unsuitable suitor is. Hello? Hello, surely that's old Beefers coming this way. Ah, the Reverend Rupert Bingham as I stand here. Sober black costume, roundabout collar, kept in place purely by willpower as vouchsafed to men of God. And with muscles bulging as when he stroked the Oxford Eight in my day. Oh, what a man. Beefers!
Hello, Freddy. Haven't seen you for years. Keeping pretty fit.
Oh, as a fiddle. As a fiddle. And you?
Oh, I'm all right. What were you doing in that house?
Trying to sell dog biscuits.
I didn't know you sold dog biscuits.
I do when people have enough sense to see that Donaldson's are the best. But could I make my fat-headed aunt see that? No, I could not, Beefers.
Your aunt? I didn't know Lady Marshall was your aunt.
Oh, didn't you, Beefers? I thought it was all over London.
Did she tell you about me?
What about you? Great Scott! Are you the impoverished bloke that wants to marry Gertrude?
Yes.
Well, I'm dashed.
I love her, Freddy. I love her as no man.
Oh, rather, quite. Absolutely. And she loves you, what? Thinks you a king among men. The tree from which her whatever it is hangs.
Mm. And now they've gone and sent her to Blandings to be out of my way.
But why are you impoverished? Don't you get tithes?
Well, there aren't any tithes where I am.
Oh, not so hot. Well, what are you doing about it?
Well, I thought of calling on your aunt again and trying to melt her obduracy.
No earthly good, Beefers, old man. If a woman won't buy Donaldson's dog joy, it means she has some mental kink, and it's no good trying to reason with her. Come on, let me think. Ah, perhaps we could... No, we couldn't. No. If you... Oh, Lord, no. Ah, I've got it, Beefers. Listen, you're legging it straight down to Blandings this very afternoon. I've got the whole thing planned. You've not met my governor, have you? He's not seen you.
I've not met Lord Emsworth, no. Why?
And Aunt Constance is away? Yes. So the coast's clear.
Freddy, what are you talking about?
You will go to the castle as a friend of mine, not a parson, named... let's see, your suitcase will probably have RB marked on it. You'll be Rupert, Badham, and you'll take ordinary shirts and collars.
But
disguise, what? See? And black tie for evening. You're staying till I come down in a few days. I'll fix it with the governor. Send him a telegram. My friend, Rupert Badham, come down for some country air.
Yeah, but I don't see
how... meet Gertrude. Well, as a stranger, of course. But the governor will be delighted that she has some young company. Keep her mind off tidying his study. And you...
Yes, what do I do?
You ingratiate yourself with my governor. Ingratiate yourself like nobody's business.
But what good will it do, ingratiating myself, as you call it, with your father? He's only Gertrude's uncle.
What good? My dear chap, are you aware that the governor owns the countryside for miles around? He has all sorts of church livings in his gift, up his sleeve. Livings, vicarages, simply dripping with tithes. And he can give them to whoever he likes.
Freddy? I believe there's something in this, innocent deception. But how do I ingratiate myself with Lord Emsworth?
Easy, Beefers, old man, easy. Cluster round him like a poultice. Help him out of chairs and over stairs. Carry his mackintosh and umbrella for him. Why, great Scott, I'd undertake to ingratiate myself with Stalin if I set my mind to it. Pop off and pack the old toothbrush, and I'll send that wire to the governor.
Yes? This is Blandings Castle, Lord Emsworth's residence. Telegram for Lord Emsworth? All right, Mrs. Gillette. I'll write it down. Yeah. Ah, thank you, Mrs. Gillette. I'll read that back to you. A great pal of mine, Rupert Badham, will arrive Market Blandings by 7:15 train. Please send Vools to meet. Please make Badham welcome at Castle till I come. He will be good company for Gertrude. Signed, Freddy. Thank you, Mrs. Gillette. Well, I'll give this message to his lordship straight away. Goodbye, then.
Tower Beach. More coffee, thank you. Do you remember Well-Beloved, Beach? Well-Beloved, my pig man. Used to look after my pigs.
Very acutely, my lord. My lord, I have a telegram
Excellent
for...
pig man, Well-Beloved. But drank too much at the Goat and Compasses. Got jugged for drunken disorderly that time.
Yes, sir. This telegram has come
I thought,
Mr.
Well-Beloved,
Frederick.
Would want to find a change of air in some southern or eastern county. I gave him an excellent reference. When sober, he was a force in the piggery. Pigs liked him.
Yes, sir, but this...
Now I learn, instead of migrating to Sussex or Kent or Norfolk or somewhere, the fellow's actually gone just round the corner from here, in the village of Much Mashingham. He's gone as pigman to Sir Gregory Parslow at Matchingham Hall. What do you make of that, Beach?
Perhaps higher wages, my lord.
It's black treachery. Why, Parslow's been a friend of mine, dined here often, sat with me on the bench. If Sir Gregory ever calls here again, you and the footman are to throw him down the steps. I'll get even with him,
Yes, my lord. I'm sorry, my lord. But this telegram just come over the telephone from the post office.
Badham? Rupert Badham? I don't remember any Badham among Frederick's friends. Still, company for Gertrude, that's good. Will you tell Vules to meet that train, Beach?
Yes, my lord.
And ask Miss Gertrude to come and see me when she's not busy, will you?
Very good, my lord.
Parslow. Parslow and his pigs. Parslow and my pigman. Higher wages, I suppose. Parslow. Stealing pigmen. Ought to be in the dock, not on the bench. Parslow J.P. Ah, Gertrude, my dear.
Uncle Clarence, your tie's gone all crooked. Let me put it...
Never mind my tie. I've just had a telegram from Frederick. He's sending down a friend of his, Rupert Badham, to stay here for a few days till he comes himself. He'll be here for dinner.
I'll arrange a room for him, Uncle Clarence.
Thank you, my dear. If he's a friend of Frederick's, he'll be young. And that'll be company for you, won't it?
Company? I've got my Schopenhauer to finish, thank you. And Burton's Anatomy of Melancholy to follow. I don't want any young company.
Oh, come, my dear.
It must be wonderful being as old as you are, Uncle Clarence.
What?
To feel that there's such a short, short step to the tomb.
The tomb?
The quiet tomb. To me, life seems to stretch out endlessly. 23. That's all I am. Only 23. It's such a long time to wait.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Mr. Badham, my lord.
Thank you.
Ah, Mr. Badham. Friend of my son, Frederick.
Good evening, sir.
This is my niece, Gertrude Marshall.
Why, hello. Mr. Badham?
Hello.
You must get to know one another, as I'm rather busy and can't be a good host. But dinner now. We needn't change for dinner this evening, need we, Gertrude, my dear?
Yes, Uncle Clarence. We will dress for dinner this evening. Don't be lazy. Off you go and change. I'll put dinner back half an hour. I'm going to wear my red dress. Mr. Badham? Just black tie will do.
A glass of port, Mr. Badham.
I'm sure Mr. Badham doesn't want any port, Uncle Clarence.
No, thank you.
You go and have yours with your coffee in the library.
Just as you say, my dear.
I want to show Mr. Badham the rose garden while there's still some light.
Splendid, yeah.
Let me help you up, Lord Emsworth.
Thank you, Mr. Badham. I can walk to the library by myself without your support.
Rupert, my angel man.
Gertrude, oh, girl.
Oh, Rupert, my angel. Oh, but we must go in, or Uncle Clarence will suspect.
Gertrude, oh, girl. One more kiss. Yes. Yes, we must go in, and I must... help your uncle up to bed when he goes. He likes to be helped upstairs and things, out of chairs and things, don't you think?
I'm sure he does. If Freddy said he would, he must know his father's ways. Freddy's coming down the day after tomorrow, I told you. I'm meeting him at Market Blandings.
You're an angel.
Do angels have long red dresses?
Oh, well...
You should know, being a parson. What did they teach you at Theological College? Yoo-hoo, Freddy!
Oh, nice of you to come and meet me, young Gertrude.
Hello, Freddy.
How are things? Hmm? Is old Beef is even ingratiating himself with the governor? Hmm?
Well, yes and no.
What do you mean, yes and no? The governor should be looking on Beef as a prize pig by now. Or is it you, Lamb? Hmm?
Well, yes. Rupert has been very zealous, helping Uncle Clarence out of rooms into raincoats, galloping out of the house with rugs, mufflers, hats and things if he finds Uncle Clarence has gone out without them. Perhaps, though, his attentions have been a bit overwhelming. We've been wondering about that.
Isn't the governor responding? I mean, he ought to be feeling like an oldest inhabitant who's fallen into the midst of a troop of Boy Scouts all doing good deeds at the same time.
Well, perhaps Uncle Clarence was beginning to be grateful. Hmm? But there was this business with the stepladder yesterday afternoon and the embrocation and trying to rescue Uncle Clarence from drowning.
Can we stop the car while you tell me about all this? It sounds so exciting.
Well, yes, I think I'd better. I'll, pull in by this gate.
Good, good. Now, fire away. Tell me the worst.
Well... Yesterday, Rupert and I had gone for a bit of a walk, and then I persuaded him it was time to go back and find Uncle Clarence and do some ingratiating. Rupert says he found him up some stepladder in the orchard, pruning a tree. So Rupert bustled up and said, "Ought you to be tiring yourself, Lord Emsworth? Won't you let me do that for you?"
Oh, quite the right note. Assiduity. Zeal. Good.
Uncle Clarence said, "No, thank you." At least, Rupert thinks he said, "Thank you." And they stood there, talking, sort of. Uncle Clarence up the ladder, and Rupert holding it steady, he thought. Then Rupert remembered to tell Uncle Clarence that you were coming down today, and Uncle Clarence seems to have had a touch of vertigo or cramp or something, and he gave a kind of sudden, sharp groan and sort of quivered all over, Rupert says.
How extraordinary.
Well, this made the steps wobble, and Rupert tried to steady them, and the next thing was they shut up, like a... pair of scissors. And Uncle Clarence was sitting on a hard path, not liking it much. He had ripped an ankle and shaken himself up falling. Altogether, Rupert says, he wasn't frightfully sunny about it.
No.
Rupert felt he might have lost a bit of ground in his ingratiating on this.
Pity. One of the vicars here has been told by his doctors to go and live in the south of France, and the living will be vacant and in the governor's gift.
What?
Much Matchingham. If Beefus could have gone as vicar there, you two could have got married.
Yes, it's a shame. However, Rupert bought Uncle Clarence some lotion for his ankle.
A lotion? For his twisted ankle? Oh, good old Beefus. He couldn't have done better. But that was last night. Well?
Well, a sort of embrocation it was.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Clarence showed me the bottle this morning. Blake's balsam. He's awfully angry. You'll see what I mean when you go up to his bedroom.
Why? Is he in bed?
Yes.
Good Lord.
You see, this lotion, embrocate, stuff. Well, Uncle Clarence told me he put a lot of it on his ankle before he went to bed and rubbed it well in.
Mm-hmm.
He got to sleep, but dreamed he was being burned at the stake by Red Indians. Feet first.
Oh, my gosh.
Woke up, found his ankle was even more painful, put more embrocation on it, rubbed it in, managed to get to sleep, woke, and the leg was even worse.
Well, go on, girl.
Well, after frequent massages of embrocation, at 6 o'clock this morning, he decided he couldn't stay in bed any longer, so he got up and went for a swim. To cool his leg, chiefly, thought the cold water of the lake might be good for it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Governor loves an early morning swim in the lake. Hmm.
Well, he said it made the leg feel better immediately he got it in the water. His ankle cooled off and he could kick and splash, and thinking he was on his own, he started to sing as he swam about on his back.
So?
Freddy, you must understand that Rupert and I had arranged to get up early, and meet behind the rhododendrons for a walk in the sunrise. And Rupert was there, waiting for me.
Beefus!
And so then what?
So then Rupert made his big mistake. He thought Uncle Clarence's singing was a cry for help, that Uncle Clarence was in difficulty in the lake, and that this was his big chance of ingratiating himself for life by rescuing Uncle Clarence, or saving his life.
Oh, Beefus used to swim for Oxford. Hmm?
Yes. So Rupert ran to the lake, tore off his coat, and plunged in to rescue Uncle Clarence. Uncle Clarence struggled, so Rupert did what all water rescue instructions say you must do when you're saving life. He aimed a blow at Uncle Clarence, right on the jaw, and knocked him senseless.
Oh, dear.
It stopped his struggling, and Rupert was easily able to drag him to the bank.
Old Beefus boxed for Oxford, too. Heavyweight.
Well, Uncle Clarence woke up safely, tucked into his own bed and with a headache. Also shouting curses at poor Rupert, which, as a clergyman, Rupert would not have liked to hear.
Mm.
You see, when Uncle Clarence looked again at the bottle of lotion Rupert had given him, Blake's balsam, he saw it was an embrocation for horses.
For horses? Oh, golly.
For horses, yes. Uncle Clarence showed it to me, and it said, Blake's balsam, dilute with 3 parts water and apply directly for strains, sprains, etc., to muscles, ligaments, in fetlocks, withers, pastens, and hocks.
Oh, Lord.
And it said in big letters at the bottom of the label, for use in stables only.
Oh, gosh.
Keep away from children.
Drive on, Gertrude. This is not good news. I shall have to do what I can. Let me think. I'd better see the governor as soon as we get to the castle.
Can I come in, governor? Very glad to hear the ankle's better.
Better?
I hear Rupert, Mr. Badham, rescued you when you were drowning in the lake.
I was not...
He may have given you the wrong lotion, but he saved your life, didn't he?
Frederick, I'm glad you've come. This friend of yours...
Yes, Gertrude's been telling me. How are you feeling?
Extremely ill.
Might have been worse.
Worse how?
Watery grave and so on.
I was enjoying my swim
with...
Didn't
you wish to reward your brave rescuer?
If that young friend of yours comes near me, I will not be answerable for the consequences.
What? Don't you like him?
Like him? I think he's the most appalling young man I ever met.
I say, Governor, that's all very well, you know, but after what's happened, it looks to me as though you're jolly well bound to lend your countenance to the Union, if you know what I mean.
Union? What Union? What are you talking about? Union with whom?
Gertrude and Old Beefus.
Who the devil is Old Beefus?
Forgot to tell you about that. This bird Badham, he's not really called Badham at all.
Not Badham?
He's Rupert Bingham. Old Beefy Bingham. Reverend Beefy Bingham.
Reverend?
You know, the fellow Aunt Elizabeth doesn't want Gertrude to marry.
What?
Oh, throw your mind back, Governor. They pushed Gertrude off here to Blandings to keep her out of his way in London. Now, I had the idea of sending him down here incog to ingratiate himself with you, the scheme being that when you'd learnt to love him, you would slip him a vacant vicarage, thus enabling him to get married, no longer being an impoverished curate, but a well-paid vicar. Tithes, Easter offerings and all that.
What are you babbling about? Not Badham? A vacant vicarage? Learn to him?
You know, Governor, there's nothing to prevent you from linking 2 young hearts in the bonds of love. I mean, you know old Braithwaite, the vicar of Much Matchingham, has been told by his doctors to go and live in the south of France. So there's a living going. You've got to slip it to somebody.
Much Matchingham?
Oh, dash it, you must know Much Matchingham. It's just across the fields, where old Parslow lives.
Yeah, Frederick, do keep quiet for a minute. Let me think. Parslow, Matchingham. That snake in the grass who's lured away with higher wages my pig man well-beloved. Parslow, squire of Much Matchingham, has to set an example to the villagers and go to church every Sunday. If I give the vicarage to your appalling friend, this fellow Badham, Parslow will have to listen to his sermons, mend his church roof and the organ, subscribe to his Sunday school treats.
Mm.
Serve him right. Certainly I will give your splendid clergyman friend, Rupert Badham, Bingham, the vicarage of Much Matchingham. And may he be a thorn in the flesh of old Parslow as long as they both shall live.
Gertrude, Beefus.
Hello?
You come see the governor? Just wait till you hear how he's going to reward you, Beefus, for saving him from drowning this morning. Vicar
of Much Matchingham.
Rupert, my angel, we can get married.
Gertrude, at last.
Uncle Clarence, I shall kiss you.
My ankle and my jaw. That's very hectic.
Ready? I shall kiss you too.
Oh, I say, not necessary.
And I promise that when Rupert and I are married and have pattering feet about the vicarage...
Oh, I say...
Dogs. We shall feed them on Donaldson's Dog Joy and nothing else but...
Oh, good girl. And I'll bend your mother in London to my will one day too. All her 8 dogs. A big order there for Donaldson's Dog Joy.